You may be seated. The scripture reading for scripture reading. Braden, would you come up?
The scripture reading today is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Be in humility regard as others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and work for his good pleasure.
Thank you, Braden. As I meditated on today's text, a few words came to my mind. Among them, the word humility stands out. It is true that the virtue of humility does not attract much attention to modern people who must actively promote themselves in order to be successful at work or school. But being raised in a culture that was heavily influenced by Confucianism, I was taught the virtue of humility, such as not to talk back to adults, just to listen, and try not to show off yourself. So when I first came to the United States, it was difficult for me to adapt not only to the language, but to a completely different culture. I have now lived more years in the United States than in Korea, but I feel like I'm still under my Korean cultural influence. I remember that my mentor during my ordination process once said to me, "I know, Michelle, you are a very humble person. You don't have to exaggerate, but sometimes you need to let others to know how God blessed you with your gifts and grace in your ministry." That is the hardest part, to self-reveal myself as a pastor, as a leader of the church. However, the humility Paul teaches in the text is different from this kind of humility. Paul exhorts the members of the Philippian church to love one another and unite in one spirit by imitating the humility of Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the characteristics of Jesus' humility that we should imitate through the text. First, Jesus was equal with God, but became human to be with us. In verse 6 says, "Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." Paul begins by stressing the eternal preexistence of Jesus as God. Before Jesus came to the earth, he existed as God in heaven. This verse reminds us of John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus was all that God is and all and possessed all that God had. Jesus was also omnipotent and almighty God. His righteousness, his wisdom, eternity, and holiness and sovereignty was the same as God's. Jesus was truly equal with God, though he did not regard his position as God. Paul continues in verse 7, "but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." Christ made himself nothing. Some translations say he emptied himself. Biblical theologians call this verse the incarnation, God coming to the earth in human flesh, the incarnation. When Christ came to the earth, he laid aside his divine nature. Instead, he took the very nature of a servant. Today, many people try to hard to ascend from low to high. But Jesus, who was equal to God, descended from heaven to earth as a baby to a poor family. The Lord came down with a clear purpose, and he lived all his life to fulfill that purpose. We who follow the Lord should be able to live a purpose-driven life, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness in this world. The Apostle Paul did not hesitate to go to prison. The first century Christians did not hesitate to go in the cave. And countless martyrs even praised the Lord, whether they were dying in the fire or in the battlefield with beasts. They were not afraid of being humbled for the kingdom of God. And they believed that if they were humbled for the Lord, God would exalt them with the Lord. Therefore, let us look upon our Lord, not looking at the difficult circumstances in these days, praying that our Lord, our love for God, and our loving action for the needy will not stop, even in the midst of the pandemic. Second, Jesus humbled himself even to die on a cross for our salvation. Verse 8 says, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The crucifixion was a punishment that the Romans reserved for the very worst criminals. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Why did our Lord shed his blood on the cross? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus died on the cross in order to fulfill God's plan of salvation. Caroline, it's okay. These days, coughing. When we do cough, we are scared. So looking back and forth and but it's okay. Jesus died for you and me, for our salvation and for the forgiveness of our sins. If you and I have experienced God's amazing forgiveness and salvation, we have a responsibility to forgive others and to share the saving grace with our neighbors. Our Lord will pour out his peace and joy to those who obey. And the more we obey the Lord, the more we experience the peace and joy of the Lord within us. Lastly, Jesus returned to heaven, becoming the Lord of the living and the dead. Verses 9 through 11 says, I quote, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow means submission to Jesus as Lord. Every tongue confess means that there is no other Lord than but Jesus. When Jesus returned to heaven, God highly exalted him. God gave him back all that he relinquished when he left heaven to come to the earth. God also gave him the name that is above every name. Many people did not recognize Jesus when he first came to the earth. People today still don't know who Jesus is. But when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's praise God. Note how universal this will be. It will include all creatures in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That would include angels and saints in heaven, all those living on the earth, including you and I, and all the dead and demons and Satan himself under the earth. No one will be left out. All will be included in this universal declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord. The world we live in is currently in extreme chaos and division. But it is clear purpose of our lives that the kingdom of God will be established on this earth. That's God's promise. For that purpose, we must be able to give up everything else. That is true humility and the way we live with the joy of heaven. Therefore, let us try hard to imitate the humility of our Lord. Those who decide that, yes, I'm going to follow and I'm going to imitate the humility of our Lord, please show any movement. Wow, great. Thank you. I like yours, Taylor. Beloved congregants, are you having a hard time right now? It's not just you. Everyone has a hard time these days, without exception. There are new signs recently posted by the horizon at the entrance of the trail I walk. The sign says, "You are not alone. Together we can overcome suicide." Whenever I see that sign, it makes me compassionate for those who are mentally vulnerable. Of course, people suffering from mental problems need professional medical help. In addition, we desperately need to introduce Jesus Christ, who is the source of the ultimate hope for this world. Who are the people you and I need to reach by witnessing Jesus Christ today? Is your child, spouse, or coworker struggling in loneliness and depression? Are any of our church members suffering during this difficult time? Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He is our Savior, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus loves you, and Jesus invites you to come to him right now, at this moment. Jesus gave himself for you. Won't you come to the Lord today? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your humble obedience to come down to the earth to save us. Lord, help us to follow the way you have walked on the earth and imitate your humility to bring the kingdom of God in our homes and workplaces. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise and sing in our heart while we're listening our famous vocalist in Lynchburg. He is Lord, He is Lord. Let us confess that our Lord, Lord, we confess your Lordship, Lord. Come to me and guide my life and protect me and heal me, Lord.
Thank you.